speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And we noticed all the scriptures that are given in the New Testament, those four, in which there is a reference to a Christian. And then we began an acrostic study by letting each letter of the word Christian define some characteristic of what it is to be a Christian. We let the letter C stand for the word converted. A Christian certainly must be one who is converted to God, converted to Christ, and one who is allowing the Word of God to be his guide as he seeks to live for the Lord here. Now, the second letter of the word Christian is H, and we let that stand for humility. Certainly, a Christian must demonstrate humility. We're commanded to have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, Philippians 2, and we can read more of that in verse 5 down through verse 11. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18, verse 4. And certainly Christians must be humble and teachable as little children. Jesus said also, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In Luke 18, verse 14. And certainly one who is proud and haughty and conceited is not a Christian. He is not humble like the Master who left us an example of humility. On one occasion, you remember how Jesus washed the dirty feet of the disciples and taught them that they ought to render service to others. And he that would be greatest would be the servant. And surely no one could imagine Jesus strutting down the street like a peacock making people afraid to approach him. The way up is down. And he who would go up in God's sight must first of all go down in meekness and humility and be as a little child. No one can go up to the pinnacle of the housetop of Christianity without first going through the way of the abasement. Well, the third letter of Christian, R, we let stand for the word reverence. We cannot be Christians without reverence for God. We learn in Psalms 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. We know for a fact in God's word that he has actually killed people in the very act of worship because of their lack of reverence. Just as it was with Nadab and Abihu, whom he burned with fire from heaven when they offered false worship, Leviticus 10, verse 1 through verse 3. And the Hebrew writer informs us in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and verse 29, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Some people are so wicked and so irreverent as to impenitently take God's name in vain. And it's as true now as ever that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. And if we would have God hear our prayers, we must be able to say, "Hallowed be thy name. Sacred and holy is thy name," Matthew 6, verse 9. And we have come to the sad stage that about all the use the masses of people have for the name of God is to use it as a curse word, or in the vernacular, a cuss word. And many are even taking the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master, the King of Kings, and using it simply as a swear word and a curse word. In Psalms 111, verse 9, we know that God's name is a name that is to be held and spoken in reverence. Matter of fact, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And for his name to be reverend, who am I or a man to say, "Call me Reverend Willis," or "Call me Reverend that"? Holy and reverend is God's name, Psalms 111, verse 9. And that's the only time the word reverend is found in our English Bible. And it's used in reference to God's name. His name represents Him. It stands for all that He is. It stands for and represents all that is dear to us. And we need to hold His name in reverence. It's a lack of reverence and humility for a preacher to call himself reverend. We never read in the Bible of Reverend Paul or the right Reverend Peter or the very right Reverend John. Jesus reproved those of His day who loved to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And He said, "Be not called ye Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ. All ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be called ye masters, for one is your Master, even Christ." Matthew 23, verse 7 through verse 9. And many preachers today are so puffed up that they are insulted when someone asks the authority for what they're practicing and teaching. "We are brethren," Jesus Christ said. Well, the fourth letter of Christian is I, and that stands for the word innocent. When Jesus sent His disciples out under the limited commission, He said, as found in Matthew 10:16, "Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." Now, I've never heard of a dove harming anyone. And I'm not afraid of a Christian. I'm not afraid of his wealth or his power or his fist or his gun or even his tongue. Because, you see, a Christian is harmless like the Master. Now, while they're not sinlessly perfect, they are not dangerous. They're innocent. They're harmless. Paul said in Philippians 2, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Verse 14 and 15. Well, the next letter of the word Christian, S, stands for sanctified. Indeed, Christians are sanctified. That word means set apart for God, or to be, as it were, exclusively for God. So they are devoted to God. They are separated from common condition and common use. They are set apart unto a holy or religious use. And that's the meaning of the word, as defined by Thayer and also by Liddell and Scott, by Baxter, by Webster. Worldly people are not Christians. One must be devoted to God to be a child of God, to be a disciple. And one must be sanctified to be a Christian. And Paul informs us that sanctification is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 and 2. And he also says that we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verse 3. So we are sanctified by a series of things and not by some one thing alone. We're sanctified by God in Jude 1. Hebrews 13, 12, we're sanctified by Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 12, further, we're sanctified by the blood of Christ. Also, we learn from the Bible that we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who revealed and confirmed the word by which we are sanctified, Romans 15, 16. So we're sanctified by the truth, John 17, 17. We're sanctified by the new covenant, or by the will, and not by the old will, the old law, Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 10. Acts 26, 16, we learn that we're sanctified by faith. And one must repent. One must purge himself from evil to be sanctified. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. And sanctification is also by the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5, verse 25. And we learn that the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18, verse 8. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through verse 11, those same Corinthians, Paul wrote to, saying that they were washed and that they were sanctified. And a Christian is one who is sanctified. But we cease to be sanctified if we cease to be faithful to Christ. One can so sin after salvation as to count the blood of Christ, by which he was sanctified, and a holy thing, and do despite unto the Spirit of grace, and become worthy of worse punishment than physical death without mercy. We learn in Hebrews 10, verse 26 through verse 29. And holiness or sanctification must be followed and practiced by all who would call themselves a disciple, a follower of Christ. Again, sanctification does not mean sinless perfection. No one can live such a life. John says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8. But on the other hand, one who lives a life of impenitence and willful sin is not sanctified. He's not a Christian. So, S of Christian stands for sanctified. The sixth letter of the word Christian, T, is the letter for the word thankful. Certainly, the true Christian is grateful and thankful for all that he has. It is said that ingratitude is one of the basis of all sins. The true Christian is happy and thankful that all things are as well with him as they are. He is glad to be a Christian, and he's glad to even suffer for Christ's sake if such is necessary. He's glad that he is saved from his past sins. He's thankful that he's a child of God and that his name is written in heaven. He counts his blessings. He thanks God for them. And rather than murmuring and complaining, he can see the beauty in the rose in spite of the thorns. And as Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, in everything give thanks. Well, the next letter of the word Christian, the seventh letter, is I. And we let that stand for the word influence. A Christian is a powerful influence in the world for good. He said to be a light of the world and the salt of the earth in Matthew 13 through verse 16. And by the Christian's teaching and by his example, he's to convert and save the world. Now, a sinner cannot be a good influence any more than a block of ice can warm up a room. But the Christian is one who is aware that he has influence and that he's going to use that influence to help others to live closer to God. The next and eighth letter of the word Christian, as we spell Christian, is the letter A, and it stands for the word active. The Christian never retires from the Lord's service. He is active just as long as he can act. He never gets on the shelf, for faith without works is dead, being alone, James 2. In Philippians 2:12, we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In Hebrews 4:9, we must labor to enter into our heavenly rest. The Christian loves to work for Jesus, and if he were about to die, he would hate to go and leave the good work being done. And Paul said to the Corinthians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then the last letter of the word Christian, N, we let stand for a new creature. For indeed a Christian is born again. And as Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I ask again today, are you a Christian? Why not become a Christian and be a follower of God?